there. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks, The Money Show. I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, this is the show for you. My buddy Gregory Ricks across the table is a financial advisor.
Listening to a speaker speak at this conference I was at a few days ago. You know, he said when Amazon started, you know, it was about, you can get the lowest price on books from them. It was a bookstore, online bookstore. And they were affecting some of, and then they reached a point where they're affecting book chains. And I admit I ordered books from Amazon because I could save. I was willing to wait several days for the book to save $5 or something like that. And then they started evolving into selling other things. And, you know, one of the other things, you didn't have to pay tax either back then on any portion of the purchase. And now, well, they evolved into selling other things. Now they kind of do everything. And you know what's interesting? If you probably price shopped, you would probably get it less elsewhere. And you have to pay taxes now too on purchases. Think about that. And a lot of people don't necessarily think about price shopping. And I'll tell you an interesting story. My wife, Stacy, pointed this out to me last night. And we had heard the speaker talk about this the other day, is that if you price shopped, you would probably find out that you're not getting the best price. But he said, heck, I'll pay more for it. Because what Amazon has actually become is not the price leader. It's, we'll get it to you tomorrow. So you mean I don't have to leave the house? It may cost me a little bit more, but I get it tomorrow. So they've become not the price leader, but the convenience leader is their business. And an example of that, Stacy ordering some Christmas gifts, and she received one of the gifts she ordered. And what was surprising is who the shipment came from was not who she ordered it from. And then there was a ticket inside of that box that showed that order that she received was generated at $8 less than she paid. Because she ordered it from one place, they ordered it from this place, shipped it direct to her, and there was an $8 difference between what she paid and that ticket. There was an inverted ticket in that box that explained the transaction. And then she was doing this for a family thing. And one of the family members called and said, you know, I heard you did this. And can I just buy that gift from you and give it to that person? And she says, sure. And she explained what she found out. And she said, well, which price do I pay? You pay the larger one.
Right.
Because that's what she paid. But that tells you right there. And Stacy said, yeah. And I went and investigated it. And I couldn't beat the price still that I got it at because it wasn't available anymore. But that was just interesting. We'd heard that and never thought. Have you shopped Amazon? Meaning, let me see who I can get it better for less. Or are you just doing it because, you know what, it'll be here tomorrow?
No, I have, but my experience has been almost identical to the Walmart versus Big Lots scenario that you and I have talked about before. Because when I first met Walmart in the 80s, it was what Big Lots is now. It didn't have groceries and everything. It just had everything, and man, if it was here, this is the cheapest you're going to find it. Some of this stuff looks like it fell off the back of a truck. You know, it doesn't even look legit. But now what is Walmart? Walmart's a place I can go to and they have everything. If I need a pair of socks, if I need a Phillips screwdriver, if I need a gallon of milk. Big Lots can't do that. There's things I want when I go to Big Lots. When I go there, it might not be on the shelf. They have this one brand of protein powder. And if I go there, maybe it isn't. But I go to Big Lots because what I do find there that I need is going to be dirt cheap. It's actually, in some cases, cheaper than Walmart. So Walmart is no longer the bottom barrel cheapest. It's the place where you can go where you can find everything and still try and get that everything experience for the cheapest. It's the cheapest general store, not the cheapest period. So now Amazon is not the cheapest period. It's the cheapest general store. It's the place I can go to and I can search for just about anything.
Another interesting...
Well, hang on.
Oh, go ahead.
To finish my metaphor, what has become Big Lots now, online speaking? If it's not Amazon, what is it? Whatever's there, it may not have what you want, but I guarantee if you find it there, it's probably not going to be found somewhere cheaper. Wish is what we're using for that right now. It's called Wish. And the thing is, that's where I get these Chinese shirts where I'll get an extra large and it's still too small for me. Or it's made out of like that super thin Halloween costume material. You get some really shady stuff on there. But hey, for $4, if the shirt doesn't fit too good, it, you know, is worth a shot in the dark there. That's the bottom barrel cheapest stuff. That is the online equivalent of Big Lots.
There was a story I read, I'll say earlier in the year, that was talking about these, I'll call them vagabonds, but that's probably not accurate, but they're travelers. They get in their vans and kind of head across the country, heading to in the towns and looking for businesses, having sales or closeouts and stuff like this. And there's an app that you can get that if you find something somewhere for sale or discounted, you could pull that up on your app and see what it would sell for on Amazon. And then what they would do if they find the right margin, they buy what they have and they get it over to Amazon because Amazon, you know, they're obviously resellers and Amazon will hold it and ship it for them through the sales process. So right there, that was a clue to what's coming as people are buying stuff elsewhere and putting on Amazon because they can sell it for more on Amazon. What's the going price for this on Amazon? Interesting.
That sounds like a fun way to live your life because I've seen people kind of do that. My old youth pastor from when I was in high school, when eBay came out, he was blown away because someone would sell this old G.I. Joe. He'd be like, oh, I can get $200 for that. And he would just buy it. He didn't have the app you were talking about, but, you know, just his knowledge of collectibles and really just antiques and junk like that. He couldn't stand himself that people were selling stuff so underpriced. And I went into his house. It was right as I got out of college. And his whole living room was just full of garbage from eBay. And his wife had to put a stop to it. But it sounds like you're... people that you saw with the app, that's a much more efficient and surefire way to pull that off. And that sounds totally believable. Sounds like you probably make a fun little living doing that.
Maybe. Yeah, they just kind of, and look, they were talking about a couple of different families that did that, but they would kind of like, which way do you want to go today? Let's head east.
I love the sound of that. See, that's the total freedom. When people buy the RVs, that's the kind of lifestyle they're thinking about. And these people are actually pulling it off and making some money in the process. It's like Antiques Roadshow, but literally a roadshow.
Yeah, which brings me to another subject for another time, but it's dollar stores. I saw a piece.
On 60 Minutes, I know.
You saw that?
I saw it too, and these people need to hush.
Interesting. They're putting out grocery stores that sell kind of everything, like your produce, fresh meats, deli department stuff, and Dollar General sells groceries and sweets and soft drinks, but none of this other stuff that you need. And it's causing a problem, especially in smaller towns, for that. So, you know, that is free enterprise. What do? Squish it? You can't have more than 40 stores in your chain or something? But would you... knowing you're impacting a community store that costs you more, but if you could save a few dollars, would you make that choice knowing that probably in the long run, that other store that costs more and provides more is going to be gone? And that's a conscious choice. What James and I were kind of continuing that discussion on the break, and here goes and I'll just jump to the demographic of the buyers. And I would say these are people that are having to be thrifty there. And I don't know, maybe, you know, sometimes in a big city, those things are kind of everywhere, super convenient. Smaller towns, not necessarily. But I would say, and here's where I'm going. We know half the people have not saved or invested money for the future, which investing and saving that combination and growing money for the future means generating income when you can no longer work or don't want to. It's called retirement. By will, by choice, or by force of nature. So half the people are saving, half aren't. So if you can't, and I would say most of those people are not saving, and I kind of start, half of that half are not saving money for the future because they absolutely can't. They need every dollar. And you thought,
well, maybe
more.
It's probably most of them.
Yeah. And I'd agree with you. It's probably most of that half. So then if they've got that kind of choice that they're living paycheck to paycheck, they really can't save, and some of them do save, and then something happens and it's gone again. So from that standpoint, if they can save a few dollars by shopping here, they're going to do so. And for a lot of those households, it probably makes a difference is it's an extra box of cereal for the kids. So it goes back to my question. Well, what do you do? You know, are you willing to pay more to keep the local business in business? I don't think they're making conscious choices that way or thinking about it that way. It's kind of, you know, this is all I have and I can buy a little bit more here. I think that's what's going on. I think that also reflects to, you know, I'd pay a little bit more. Now, we had this talk a few weeks ago, and this relates to China. Would you pay more? I would make a conscious effort to pay a little bit more for something made elsewhere besides China, especially if it was made here. But I can afford to pay a few percent more or several percent more on an item or service. I'm making a conscious effort, but others are having to make choice exactly based upon price. So, you know, what do you do in that dollar store situation? Some can make a conscious effort. Others, I've got to get the best deal. You know, say, well, I don't want to get it through Amazon. Well, that is the best deal, and others are going to make that choice if it's based upon price. And then others, and we find out now it's not so much price as it is convenience. You know, I don't have to go out and get the hustle and bustle, and that's kind of what you were talking about there. And others do this, like, gosh, I don't have to go look for it. I don't have to deal with it. This is what I want. And I don't have to wait a few days. I don't have to worry about getting there and they're out of it. They have it. And they said they'll have it to me tomorrow afternoon. I'm good.
Well, answering your hypothetical, would I be willing for that local family owned business owned by my neighbors to go out of business just so I can save a couple of bucks here and there at the dollar store? And the answer is absolutely, yeah. But I'm not here for the charity and well-being of my neighbor's business. If I'm going out of business, he's not going to come throw money at me to make sure I'm staying in business. You know, if I open a taco stand, I'm not going to say, wait, why are you going to the next town over to get your tacos?
Yeah, so what does the community put out an alert? Hey, Fred's Grocery that's been here for 60 years is under the weather. You're going to have to shift your business pattern to save this guy. It's not happening. That's not the way it works.
And I recognize that it's unfortunate for Fred. He didn't do anything wrong. Technology passed him up, and this is the logistics just make it not a profitable business anymore. Just like, I don't know, whoever used to walk around behind a mule pushing a plow. I'm sorry, dude, you're out of work. We have a better way to do it. It's done by this machine. They can do it 1,000 times faster than you. You're obsolete. Time to go. Now, it's not so cut and dry as the technological advancements that puts an invention out of business, but it's similar.
In the big cities in the early 1900s, there was a lot of people that did one chore. Not a good one, but they cleaned the streets.
Those guys are gone, right.
And there was a lot of poop moved back in the day.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
like, streets were different. It's like shockingly an amount, but when cars started rolling, all those people went out of work.
I didn't miss the poop. I'm sure that wasn't very much missed.
Nobody missed it. But, you know, thanks. Now, that's a horrible correlation to grocery stores, but things change. And, You know, I'm sure those guys like their pay.
Well, look, it also sounds like when 60 Minutes does these stories on flyover country and small town America, it always feels like someone from the future is coming back and looking at me like I'm in a zoo, because you and I are from tiny towns. And they're like, these people have to drive 20 minutes to get a gallon of milk. I'm like, yeah, that was every day until I moved out of my parents' house. We were a 40-minute round trip from the nearest gallon of milk. I mean, that's just what the standard of life. And if a store closed down, oh, no, I got to drive 25 minutes to a gallon of milk. Whoop-de-doo. I think they're exaggerating the destructive force that is happening from the dollar stores on small towns. I think it's probably more good than bad.
I know. And we didn't talk about that side, but what convenience is that bringing? What is it enabling people to do more with their money? There is that side, and I don't want to skip that as well. And some of that creates that convenience is, yeah, I don't have to drive 20 miles for that milk because that dollar store has it.
All right. You ready for our favorite diversion?
What's that?
Well, look, we're just wrapped up in football more so this year than others, just for one very good reason, and that's Joe Burrow and LSU. But
yeah, Coach O has got a $25,000 bonus.
Wait, did you
SEC
look it up already?
SEC Coach of the Year added another little bonus. A little bonus. Well, 25K is not a little bonus. I wouldn't mind a 25K bonus.
Wait, did you
look up? But it adds up.
Are you looking
at the sheet? I have not looked.
Because he got a lot more bonuses than that.
Oh, I know. That was just the latest.
Okay.
Latest one. But he's gotten more.
Okay, so Gregory and I like to take the biggest stories of the day and give you the financial backstory, whatever's going on behind the curtains. Financially speaking, and we were talking about the coaches, the highest paid coaches in American sports yesterday, and Gregory brought up some of the numbers on the bonuses, and they were huge. So I said, well, you know what? I'm going to look a little more into this. Found a nice little rundown. And so let's start with Coach O. LSU's Coach O. Gregory just mentioned he got 25 grand as part of his contract. This is the bonus he gets for, let's see, the 25 grand. That was for his sixth win, which made him eligible for a bowl game. For his 10th win, he got $250,000. For his 11th regular season win, he got another $100,000. For his 12th regular season win, he got $150,000. And for winning the SEC division title, $100,000. Gregory, it's different. You and I get excited in that last game where it's like, oh, man, they're going to pull us off. They're going to have the perfect season. Ed Ogeron is thinking, what? 12th regular season win plus a division title, wouldn't that be like another $250,000? He was super happy after the game. $250,000 on that win.
Oh.
That's right, Ryan. Nick Saban, this will make you feel happy. You know what his bonuses were? He got 65 grand for his sixth win, and he got $25,000 for his ninth win. That's all.
Oh, he took a pay cut this year, huh? Compared to past years.
Dabo,
no bonuses.
Dabo Sweeney, he has a weak bonus outlook too. He got 50 grand for winning 8 regular season games and another 50 grand for his ACC title. Here's a cool.
Oh, he's pretty much just paid. We're paying you just to coach. Just go coach.
There was one guy at the Western Michigan, that classic football powerhouse. His name's Tim Lester. He's the only guy I saw on the list that got a bonus for having two players named to the first team academic All-America program. And that kind of cool? They actually rewarded someone for academics. There was one guy that got rewarded for academics.
Hey, if you'd like some daytime help, I'm a financial advisor and money manager. Gregory Ricks and Associates can help you. Give us a call, 504-832-9200, and let's start a conversation, gregoryricks.com.
Your home away from the show is winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest, subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.